I guess we should make a start again. There's not a lot more to do. Just really need to tidy up the ends, as it were. First of all, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 60, verses 6 and 7, which picks up the promise that God made to Abraham about Ishmael and about the Arabs. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. It's quite interesting as far as I'm concerned here. These are the descendants of Ishmael. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Very interesting. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. So that, you know, the promises that were made to Isaac and his line through Abraham are also going to be in the future part of the Arab experience. So let's look at some of those places. I couldn't find Nebaioth, but I suspect it's up here somewhere. This is where Kedar is, roughly. Dedan over here, Sheba down here. So this is the Arabian Peninsula. So these are all Arabic peoples descended from Abraham through Ishmael.
John, I just wonder whether there's a link between Nebaioth and Nebajoth.
Yeah, it's the same name.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting because when we look at Abraham's family tree again, we see that here's Nebaioth.
Yeah.
He's one of Ishmael's family. Kedar, another one of Ishmael's family. And Midian, one of the family through here. Yeah, so you've got this is the Arabic branch of Abraham's people. It's interesting too to note that Basemath is one of the children of Ishmael and marries Mahalath, who married Reuel. We know that name from Moses' day, but Esau is in the package here, the brother of Jacob. So there's a family union going on. If you count these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that's the 12 sons that Ishmael was to have by promise. That God said that they would have. They were coming from Hagar, who was Egyptian, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. So that brings Egypt into the picture. Midian is another interesting name that pops up. If we go back to the map, we've got Egypt down here. These are the tribes of, the tribes of Ishmael, and because down in the Persian Gulf we've got Qatar and one or two of the other places, so that the other sons may well have settled in this area. So the Arabian Peninsula, it seems to me to be suggestive that that's where they went, and that God has this possession for them in mind, as he has for Israel across this sort of area through here. In the future, down into here as well, from Elah. So his concerns are with faithful Abraham, who came out of Ur of the Chaldees, which was somewhere, I think, south of Babylon, somewhere in this sort of area. And when you see that Abraham came out of that area to a land that God was going to show him, he's got to come all this way up here and then down into the land that way. So it's no mean journey. It's quite a step. quite a distance to actually go. Now, this is a quotation to Abraham, and you remember it's at the time that God said to him, "I want you to give me your son as a sacrifice." And he goes through with it. And because he goes, well, he doesn't go through with it, does he? He does the act by committing himself to start. I can imagine the knife starting to go down and the angel stopping it. And God saying, "I know you're going to do this." And so he's given, as I think it's, as it Hebrews talks about, he received him from the dead in a figure. Yeah, it's very interesting. By myself I have sworn, he says, because you have done this thing, have not withheld your son, and we think of God's son later, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. Some 10, I'm trying to remember the number, 10 million billion. Billion. I think that's the number of stars that have been estimated to be in the whole of the universe. How anyone can do that, I'm not sure. But certainly there are more than we can number. And yet, from Isaiah 40, God knows them all by name. That's how great our God is. You know, if, say there are 7 billion people on the earth today, he knows each and every one of us at one and the same time. As individuals,
he numbers the hair of their head.
Yeah, the hairs of the head, the sparrows that fly through. He knows, he's aware of it all because he's supporting it all. And I think we can trust someone who has that kind of ability. I know we can trust someone with that ability. Anyway, multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. So you've got heavenly and earthly. So the spiritual and the physical, I would suggest, which is on the seashore. Your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, that of course takes us there to Galatians, because this is exactly linked to that promise. To Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. He doesn't say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, in other words, singular, and to your seed, which is Christ. And I think you remember that some of the promises that God gave, he said, your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So it's even specific as to sex. So that's an important plank, I guess, in our considerations, to know that God has made these promises. And this statement is said in Galatians earlier in the chapter, that God preached the gospel before to Abraham in saying that your seed will bless the rest of the world. Christ will be the one through whom that seed comes, and Christ is Jewish. So central to the Jewish. But as we've seen from the Palestinian point of view, the Arabic point of view, there is a promise for them too. That is associated, it's at a lower level of course, but it's associated with the promises made to Isaac and particularly to Abraham. So that Abraham, being the father of the faithful, has that special place in God's plan and God's purpose. Now we've probably got to the end. I want to look at some of the conditions that will come on the earth. I mean, probably you'll all be familiar with some of these quotations. Now let's go to Isaiah 11. Verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 11, 1. We've all been introduced to the one who is going to be the one who brings salvation. This is a little step further along when the kingdom is established under him. This is a prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Now, who was Jesse?
Jesse James. So David's father.
Yeah. He was the father of David.
King David.
Yeah, King David. So we're introduced to a child of David's, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It's an interesting little exercise we can do there. I'm looking at that.
Not on the screen.
No, not on the screen. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We say that that's the central point. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. And the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What does that look like?
And the seven branch.
Menorah.
Candlestick.
Yeah. And what does that do? Shows the light.
Light.
Yeah. That's interesting, I think.
Yeah. That's thanks to Peter Roberts.
God is light. No, it's not Peter Roberts. It's actually Peter Kirk.
Wow.
It was he that first pointed that out to me, and I've never forgotten it. You can imagine the seven lights, and these are the seven lights, aren't they? Spirit of the Lord is the generator for all of it. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the first pair, Spirit of counsel and might, second pair, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, which of course is out of Proverbs.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Beginning of wisdom, yeah. And wisdom is the understanding of knowledge. So, you know, that's really, it's a sign of the light of God.
Yeah.
If the light of God shines in your heart, that's what it's composed of.
Mm. And the menorah really is like a stylized tree, isn't it? And
it is.
It's a rod.
Yeah.
It's come up and it's
yeah.
Branches.
And the knox and branches. Yeah. Yeah, three in each kind of thing. I mean, that's a pretty... looks like a snail's drawn.
Needs pruning.
Needs pruning. Needs pollinating anyway. Okay, so that's the spirit of Jesus, or of the ruler of the kingdom. Now, with all of those qualifications, he's going to actually be quite good at his job. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And there is Jesus' love for his Father. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, and that seems to be what mankind is condemned to do now in judging others, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. So circumstantial evidence will not be a part of his ways of judging. He will judge with righteousness. And what do you think that word means?
Right with God.
Righteousness, being right with God. He shall judge the poor with righteousness. Not because he's poor. You don't make a decision in regard to him, to his physical, how much money he's got or how many goods he's got. He's going to judge him with righteousness, with rightness with God. Decide with equity. So that's a level playing field for the meek of the earth, not the arrogant of the earth who've got enough money to buy a favourable decision. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and that's almost the sword out of his mouth, the white horse with the sword in the mouth. With the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked, and breath of our lips is the words we use. And we were told, we are told that we will be judged by the word, by the word of God. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, faithfulness the belt of his waist. So you've got two belts, on the loins and on the waist. And of course we've got this really nice agrarian society, wolf dwelling with the lamb. Now, if you put a lamb in with a wolf, the lamb's not going to last long, yet in the kingdom the lamb will last forever in the case of Jesus, because he's eternal. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Lie down with the goat? That's a meal. Come and have dinner with me. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Can you imagine that group today? A small cow, small, and a young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child in the middle. I mean, first thing we'd be doing is just go get the kid out of the way. They're not going to last long. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And it would have been like the Garden of Eden.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's idyllic, isn't it?
Circle complete.
Yeah. Which is true. Yes, he wanted Adam and Eve to people the earth with righteous seed, and they failed. He cleaned it up, gave Noah the job, and he wanted a righteous seed from them. It's only three or four generations down the track, and they're all, you know, doing their own thing, building a great pyramid that wants to get to heaven. Yeah. Yeah, it won't last long, will it? I want to go back now to chapter 2 of Isaiah. Verse 1, and here we've got again some of the things that are going to happen with with the Jew. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, interesting phrase, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. And remember the earlier quotation we looked at on the mountains of Israel, that the peoples are going to be established there. It shall be and be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And here is God's original intention with Israel coming to a fruition in the latter days. And that all nations will flow to it. Many people will come and say, come. That's an imperative. I've gone through this particular Bible program and highlighted the imperatives, which is, this must happen. This has to happen for any future activity to be there. Now let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, just bring it up a bit, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Now that's a tremendous difference from what happens today in the earth. And this is talking about all of the earth being like this. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. Remember the Hamas leader saying of the usurper Zionists? God's intention is that out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. How many of you have been to the United Nations building in New York? No one? No, I haven't either, but I've seen a photo of it. On the wall, there's a curved wall just as you go in. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And that's what United Nations have picked up as their catch cry, their banner. And it will happen, but not through their activities.
They got the wrong verse, though. They should have the verse before it shows that it's God absolutely. Who doesn't love them.
Yeah, yeah, good point. So, back to the... Sorry, we're jumping across. Looking at the end of it all, it's God's intention. Habakkuk 2 verses 13 and 14. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people labour to feed the fire, and is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labour to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we've actually done the whole circuit, haven't we? We started out with the bombing in Gaza and in Israel, and indeed in Crimea. We watched Al Jazeera last night, and I don't know whether there was anything good on the whole thing for about 3 hours.
And the Central African school children.
The world's in a real problem. This Ebola outbreak, a nasty thing going. There shall be pestilences, there shall be wars and rumours of wars, and then the end shall come. And I think that's what we're looking towards. These are the days we're longing for, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Again, that knowledge. That's important. Knowledge of his name, knowledge of his purpose. And that the earth will be filled with that knowledge to his glory as the waters cover the sea. And how completely does water cover the sea? Totally.
100%.
100%. Exactly. And God determines the boundaries of the waters.
It's a funny when you think about it, it's a funny when sea is water, isn't it?
Yeah, it is water. Yeah.
As the waters come to the sea, it's an awesome
thing. It's sure, isn't it?
As the waters come to the waters?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole sea is water, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a bit like the, it compares with the sand on the seashore and the stars. I mean, it's just so.
Well, the word for water really is the word of God, is the waters that we're seeing.
And they're called the nations, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the waters, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will make the seas like that, calm. Mm. The nations will become calm because God has purpose with them. And the earth the people need to know that God is not divorced from the world. Mm. God knows what is necessary for us. He cares for each and every one of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at the end of the chapter, he talks about one star differing from another star in glory. And I believe that that's what we're like. Those who believe, that believers shine with a particular colour. Every star is different. It has a different colour. Only subtle differences sometimes. God's interested in those differences. So he's interested in us doing what we can for him with what we've got. In that, you know, what special colour we have. And we don't want to be like someone else who's flash on some particular elements of life. And, you know, you think, oh, I wish I was like him. When he's probably thinking, well, I wish I was like you. Kind of thing. But of course, that's kind of arrogance, really. And we're not to be arrogant at all, because we are his servants.
That's one of the beauties of the creation. I mean, I often look at the tree, I've got trees out the back of my yard, and I look at the leaves, and it's one tree, it might be whatever, and all the leaves are the same, but they're not, they're all different.
Yeah.
That applies to every tree in the world. They're all the same, or they, you know, you're talking about fir, they're all a fir tree, but every one of them is different. It's amazing.
Fingerprints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no two snowflakes the same.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So that's a galaxy there, and the galaxy we live in is very similar to that.
Yeah.
Gala means milk, actually. It's the Greek word for milk. Milky Way, see? Well, we are somewhere out from the centre of the galaxy. We're somewhere out about here, maybe a little bit closer out. And there's 500 million stars in one galaxy. 500 million. We can, when we look into the centre, we see the Milky Way. We actually see that first bit, but not the centre, Sagittarius A. We don't see that because there's too many stars in the way. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible that each of those stars is shining with a different glory. And there are as many galaxies as there are stars in that galaxy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably limitless to this, to the extent, other than that God is outside that. He's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, so his hands are going to be outside it when we do the curtains or draw a string. But, you know, that's incredible.
Mm. We mind, your mind cannot really comprehend.
No,
can you,
so. No. But we will.
Out of this world.
That's the point. We will, in the kingdom, we'll be able to understand all of that. The principles by which God, you know, it turns. Our one turns once every 500 million years. Mm. One circuit.
Who's lived long enough to measure it?
Well, in the 6,000 years of time being measured, it's probably manoeuvred about, you know, hair's breadth. Anyway, that's beside the point. But that's, anyone got any questions? Any comments they'd like to make? Is there any further news about the...